Less than 4 months ago, we had the community retreat at the end of March, the group practice period, closing the winter retreat. Just like this, sitting in the temple, gathering together, listening to the morning reflections. And since that time, all of the preparations for the Visakha Puja, the open retreat, the international elders meeting, that all came together. We had 300, 400 people gathered here in the temple every day for a week. And all the elders gathering from around the world. Different talks, reflections, meetings, conversations. 100 people camping out. And then everybody left. All dismantled, dissolves, and things return to their regular routine. We can take a simple pattern of events like this. There's silence at the beginning, and then it all arises, does its thing, passes away, and then the pause of silence once again. It's like an in-breath, then an out-breath. That's all. Breathing in, taking in 300 or 400 people, dozens of conversations, hours of discussion and Dhamma teachings, and breathe out. It all dissolves, disappears. There's a memory. The heart is changed by the experiences that have occurred. But in this moment, there's a recollection, a memory, and so arises, passes away. A breath arises, passes away. A visit, the open retreat, the elders meeting arises, passes away. So we take the baseline of this kind of silence, stillness, spaciousness, against which to measure all of those arisings and passings, whether it's an inhalation and an exhalation, 400 people coming to visit, it's still the same. All that arises passes away. Yang kinchi samudaya dhammang sabantang niroda dhammanti. Whatever is subject to arising is subject to ceasing. The habit of the mind is to hang on to the memory, the perception. It's something that was painful, difficult, something that was delightful, glorious, when even if it was neutral. The mind takes hold of a perception and makes something out of it. If it's delightful, we want it to happen again. We want to hold on to it. If it was painful, we resent it, fear it coming back again. Hope it'll soon be over. This is the way that the conditioned mind, the deluded mind, relates to perception, feeling, memory. Wanting to hang on to the pleasant, wanting to get away from the painful, having opinions about everything in between. That's the natural, ordinary habit of the untrained mind. On Sunday, I was recollecting the regular teaching of Lumbo Sumato back in the mid-80s. Over and over again, he would ask the question, what is it that Buddhas know that unenlightened beings don't know? And we imagine, the way he would put the question, Buddhas have this spectacular range of knowledge of the cosmos and the countless past lives, the workings of karma and all the pasts and characteristics, the trajectories of every living being. It's a massive range of knowledge and understanding. We think those words, what does a Buddha know? But he deliberately set the question up in that way, because the answer would always be extraordinarily simple, deflating. What Buddhas know that unenlightened beings don't know, he would always say, is that all that arises passes away and is not self. That's what Buddhas know. So the important thing is not the cosmic knowledge of the flow of lives and patterns of karma and the secret inner workings of the universe, but rather that whatever it is, whether it's a thought or a galaxy, a feeling, a blissful mind state, or a screaming agony, if it arises, it passes away. If it's a thing, it has to be impermanent. That's its nature. And when the mind truly knows that, truly knows that all things are in a state of change and they are uncertain. You don't know what they're going to change into, when they're going to change, how they're going to change. Can't really define what anything truly and absolutely is. All things are uncertain. The heart that genuinely knows that is the heart that is awake. The mind that knows, the Buddha mind. Buddha means awake, aware. So the Buddha mind is this very quality of awareness that's the primary function of your mind, this mind, that which is knowing this moment, in its essence, is that same quality of awareness. It gets clogged up, covered over by the layers of identification. The mind says, I feel, I remember, I think. All the biases, loves and hates, fears, prejudices, hopes and regrets, preferences. But when all of those adhesions, those biases are peeled away, when they're let go of through wisdom, what remains, the very core, the very essence, is this quality of awakened awareness, which is formless, limitless, radiant, non-personal. It's like the force of gravity, or space itself. You can't touch it. You can't give it a shape, but its presence is felt. Has its impact. The challenge of the practice then is to apply this insight moment by moment to what we like, what we dislike, feelings of self and other, gain and loss, comfort and discomfort, success and failure, things going well, things going badly, feelings of certainty, feelings of insecurity. Are they changing? Can you truly define what they are? Do they belong to anyone? All that arises passes away and is not self. And we take the words and we can recollect the words, and they're useful. But just recollecting the words does not embody the attitude. The words are describing the attitude that is needed. The heart that holds things in this way. Rather than I like it, is it changing? Rather than I dislike it, is it changing? Rather than, this is me, is it changing? Rather than, that's the world, that's somebody else, is it changing? If it's changing, is it a sure thing? Is it substantial? Does it have an essence? If it's changing and uncertain, does it have an owner? Does anybody own nature? Anyone own gravity, space, light? Ownership has no meaning. Now the biases of the mind get formed because I see something, I say, oh, I like that, that's beautiful. Or I dislike something, oh, that's ugly, I hate that. We taste something, that's delicious, oh, that's awful. We smell something, oh, that's beautiful. Ugh, that's disgusting. The biases get formed by the habits of love and hate. Like and dislike. And the more that the mind is drawn in, intoxicated by that process, the more we continually chase the things that produce that pleasant feeling, run away from, oppose the things that produce the unpleasant feeling. The attention fixates on the object. The beautiful thing, that lovely sound. But if when this is explored, if this is investigated, you can find that it's not the beautiful sound that we love. It's not the music that we love. It's the place the music takes us to. That's what we love. When we smell that rose, it's not the smell that we love, it's what happens in our heart, that feeling within us. That's what we love. So the beauty is not in the object, It's in the subject. And when we begin to recognize this, see this, we can break the habits of continually chasing after the objects that we like, because we know when we get what we like, it's going to give a momentary gratification, but that can only last for a few seconds. It's there, that flush of delight in the mind. But if it depends on a new experience, then we endlessly chase that new experience, trying to feel that flush of gratification. Getting what we like, getting away from what we dislike. What we like is that flush of yes. It's not what we smell, not what we hear, not what we see. It's the mind. What the mind does with it. And when we free the heart from its habitual chase after what it likes or away from what it dislikes, we let the heart be free of that endless chasing after or running away from. Allow the heart to rest, being it its own awake, aware nature. To our surprise, we find that same quality of contentment, fulfillment, is present. We don't have to have a sense object to create that quality of fulfillment. When the heart lets go of fearing, resenting, desiring, and awakens to its own nature, rests in embodying that quality of awake, aware openness, there's an even more profound gratification, more complete quality of contentment, wholeness, of an order that can never be found by running away from a pain or chasing after a pleasure. So by freeing the heart from its addictions to chasing the pleasant or resenting and running from the painful, rather than making the heart be a kind of numb neutrality, a null basis of a nullity, it's quite the opposite. The experience is one of complete fulfillment, freedom, delight. The heart free of addictions, compulsions. Totally content. At ease. Not needing to get anything. Not needing to get away from anything. The Dhamma, aware of its own nature, awake to its own nature. Perfectly simple. Self-sustaining. Utterly complete.